Never worry, there we are. As Gordy mentioned earlier on, we're going to be looking at the life of Abraham over these next few weeks and looking to see the example of a life well lived. One of the things that Abraham is known as in the Bible is simply a friend of God. And that is an amazing thing. If you think of this, the Almighty God, the creator of all the splendor around us, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, actually wanting to be a friend with a man. And still more amazing, wanting to be a friend to you and to me. So as we look at Abraham and his life, one of the things I hope we can do is to just see what it means to be a friend of God. What does it mean to be a friend of God? Karen read for us from Genesis chapter 12. And if you want to turn up Genesis 12 in the Pew Bible, then we'll be looking at parts from that. But just the previous chapter, Genesis 11, you find this account of the Tower of Babel. The people have decided that they're going to be great. So they build themselves this tower, and their plan is that this tower will reach all the way into the heavens, and they will be great. There's an arrogance. There's a self-centeredness about them when they simply say, come, let us do this. Let us build this. And then we will be great. The world was in a mess. You only need to read through the first few chapters of the book of Genesis to discover that the world is just not as God meant it to be. God creates and is perfect, and he looks at it and it's good. But then sin creeps into the world in what we call the fall, and things begin to fall apart. And it's a mess. How does God respond to that mess? Well, in different times, God has judged and sent his judgment. So right back in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve disobey God, God banishes them from the Garden of Eden. They're punished. Genesis 6, we read the story of Noah that we've just sung about. When the world is in just such a mess that God decides all apart from one little group, everything will be destroyed. And now in the story of the Tower of Babel, the arrogance of man that thinks he can be God himself, God scatters it. But now we come to a new departure. Is God just simply going to spend his time with a big stick? Or is God going to reach out to his people? When we come to this story of Abraham, we are left with no doubt, that God deeply wants to have this relationship with mankind. Reaches out to be a friend with this man, Abraham. And so he makes a new start. One family, one man, Abram. So the Lord says to Abram, and if you're looking at the passage, it's the very first verse. Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. It's a very clear call. There's nothing really ambiguous about it. There's not a lot to debate about it or discuss about it. Simply leave this place, leave your father's household, leave it, and go to the place that I will show you. How do we respond? Well, here's perhaps one of the first lessons in the life of Abraham, and it's simply listening to God and being obedient. Listening to God, being obedient. Abraham heard this clear call from God, and yet a difficult call. Leave your country, your family, Leave your roots, leave your culture, leave everything that is dear to you, Abraham, and start a new life. Oh, and you need to remember you're 75, Abraham. You're not a spring chicken, but I'm asking you to do this. Big call. And perhaps Abraham's initial reaction was, well, where do I go? Where am I going? And God says, well, I know where you're going. You go to the land that I will show you. Just trust me. It's a big call. And yet the lovely thing is that Abraham steps up to the call. The lovely thing is that there are people, even within our own congregation here, who hear that call and step up to it, not knowing the full extent of what they're going to or where they're going. Ron and Hillary, who are such an example of Christian faith and obedience, part of our congregation here, and I don't think they're here this morning, but there's no secret, they're not at the stage of life when we would normally expect people to be heading off across the world. Yet they hear God's call and they go, not 100% sure of what they're going to, but they go. Martin and Heather Baxter, who are part of our fellowship here, head off and now in Vancouver ministering there. If you'd asked Martin years ago, where will you be, Martin? I don't know whether Martin would have known, but there he is now. People who hear God's call and who are obedient to it. He didn't know where he was going, but he just knew who he was going with, and that makes the difference. Little Jessica, just a few minutes ago, really didn't know where she was going with that blindfold on, but she knew who she was going with, and that made all the difference. Abraham, go to the land I will show you. He doesn't know where he's going, but he knows who's going with. Sometimes we take great truths and we turn them into cliches. And here's one. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And it sort of trips off our tongue. And it has become a cliche, but it is so true. For Abraham, I don't know what the future holds. I'm leaving everything that is dear to me. I'm heading off to literally God knows where. He's the one who holds the future. There's no sense of retiring at 75. No sense of sitting back and getting Sky into his tent so he can watch the football. No sense of just pottering about. Abraham is listening to God and he's obedient to God. What a challenge to us. What a challenge to us. The God who still calls. The God who still leads and guides. And it's a lovely thing. It isn't that Abraham suddenly wakes up one morning and thinks, you know what, I better look for God. If you read back through chapter 11, Abraham is from a background that is totally godless. God takes the initiative. God breaks into Abraham's life. God picks him up and says, Abraham, I'm going to do something special in you and through you. Come with me. And Abraham leaves in obedience. The amazing thing is that God is still after you and me. Still seeking to break into our lives and lift us up and say, come and follow me. To listen to him. Whatever our age, whatever our background, because that's the daily adventure of following Jesus. Moving forward step by step, not knowing really where the next step will take us, where the next day will lead us, but knowing that God goes with us. God calls, and Abraham hears and is obedient. But it's interesting, too, that God doesn't just call. He makes promises to Abraham. Verse 1, he simply says, go to the land, I will show you. There will be a land for you, Abraham. There will be that place for you. Abraham, I want you to go there. And then verses 2 and 3, I will make you a great nation. Abraham, you'll be talked about for generations. You will be the father of a great nation. Now, if you were Abraham and Sarah, sitting in your 70s, and God says, I'll give you a new land, perhaps you wouldn't be too excited. Imagine the hassle of that. If you were Abraham and Sarah sitting in your 70s and God said, I will make you the father of a nation and you don't have one child, well, Sarah laughed. You've got to be kidding. And yet these are the promises that God makes to Abraham. God calls him, but he makes a promise of an inheritance, a promise of assurance with him. And so when you read through in the New Testament, the writers of the New Testament pick up Abraham as an example of faith and say things like, Paul writes in Galatians, consider Abraham, he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of God, are children of Abraham. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Those who believe in Jesus Christ are the children of Abraham. He is the father of this great nation. When God takes Abraham and sets him off on this journey, then in the generations to come, Jesus Christ will appear. And the promises of God will be made fully real in Jesus. That's why Jesus in John's Gospel says, Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and he was glad. Abraham knew that God would be true to his promises. And his promises were kept in Jesus. Abraham believed God. He and Sarah were very old. They may not have known God well, but they took him seriously. Jesus often talked about this mustard seed of faith, this not knowing God terribly well, but prepared to take him seriously. Abram perhaps didn't know God terribly well, but he was prepared to take him seriously. Because it's not how much you know, it's who you know. And what you do with what you know that is important in the kingdom of God. The small mustard seed of faith in Abram's life was to change things totally. And he became a friend of God through faith. God made promises. Abram takes him at his word. Does God finish making promises? Well, thankfully not. God's word is full of promises to you and to me. Let me give you just a few wonderful examples. Romans 8, we read, therefore there is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's God's promise to you. We all, because of our sinfulness, deserve condemnation, but in Christ Jesus there is no condemnation. God's promise. That's a remarkable promise. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It's a promise of Jesus. It's a wonderful promise. And as we look on into the future, we simply read in Revelation, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. That's God's promise to us in Jesus Christ. The God who makes promises and who keeps them in Jesus. Abraham had this promise of land and a nation, which were great promises, but they are nothing compared to the promises that we have in Jesus Christ. We need to hear and trust. Abraham is obedient to God, sets out for the land of Canaan, and his obedience is evidence that he believes in God. How do we know that Abraham believed in God? Because he got up and went. If he hadn't really believed it, he would have stayed where he was, comfortable. But he believed in God and he leaves it all behind and he follows God into God's future for him. Our behavior often lays open our belief or our lack of belief, our trust or our lack of trust in God. And we read towards the end of the first little section of that chapter, verses 8 through to 9, of Abram simply worshiping God. The more he got to know God, the more he enjoyed God, the more he worshiped God, the more he got to know God, the more he enjoyed God, the more he worshiped God, and it just grew over his life. A second lesson from the life of Abraham is simply this. Faith grows as we trust God. Faith grows as we trust God. Do you remember learning to ride your bike? You remember those wobbles and shakes? But as you became more comfortable, more confident than that, less and less. Do you remember learning to swim when you needed someone to hold you up to help you through those first spluttering strokes of swimming? And then as confidence grows, you swim. Faith grows as we trust God. That's what Abraham discovered. He discovered that as he trusted God, so his faith grew all along. Two lessons. First one, hear God's call and be obedient to it. Second one, faith grows as we trust God. So it's all looking good for Abram. Abram, this hero of the faith. Abram, this obedient man of God. Abram, this example of godliness. It's all looking good for him, or is it? I love the fact that Scripture presents people as they are. Abram was not perfect. It is a wonderful thing that God doesn't look for perfect people to serve him and to follow him. Hands up if you're perfect. No, not. None of us are perfect. That's what the Bible teaches us, that none of us is righteous, not one. If God waited for us to be perfect, he would wait for eternity. Did God wait for Abram to be a perfect person? No, he didn't. And this second little section of this chapter 12 just highlights one of those things. Abram goes down into Egypt. There's a famine in the land, so he heads into Egypt where he can get some food. And he gets it wrong. He's scared. Sarah is very beautiful. And he knows that Pharaoh's always on the lookout for beautiful women to add to his harem. So he says to Sarah, whenever we go down here, you're not my wife, you're my sister. Because I'm worried that the Pharaoh will bump me off and have you as his wife. So just be my sister, pretend you're my sister. And that's what they do. It's easy to worship and to trust God when things are going well, when life is smooth, when we're in here on a Sunday morning. It's easy to worship and to trust God. It's often a different story for the rest of the week when the pressures are on. Why does Abraham lie? Well, I think it's verse 13 shows us. It's all about him. Do this, Sarah, so that I will be treated well. Do this, Sarah, so that my life will be spared. It's all about Abram. It's not about God anymore. He takes his eyes off God and he looks at himself and he panics. You remember Peter in the boat on the lake? Jesus comes walking across the water and Peter says, Lord, call me to you. And Peter jumps out of the boat and he starts to walk across the water until he looks at the waves lapping around his feet, until he takes his eyes off Jesus and he begins to panic and sink. The same thing with Abram. He's not looking at God anymore. He's looking at himself. And he stops trusting God. Stops believing that God would protect him. How do you react when you're under pressure? It's easy to compromise our faith like Abraham. Maybe you're facing that pressure now. Maybe it's finances, or you're struggling with the right and the wrong. Maybe it's a relationship that you're in that you know does not honor God. And our temptation is always to compromise, to forget that God leads and guides and protects and supports. And we panic. And we compromise. A third lesson from this call of Abraham is simply to honor God's name by living in integrity. Honor God's name by living in integrity. Abraham lost it, but God doesn't give up on him. You and I lose it, and thank God he does not give up on us, but still reaches out to us in Jesus Christ. Hear God's call and be obedient. Your faith grows as you trust God, and we honor God by living in integrity. What journeys are you on? It doesn't have to be a journey where you will fly out of Aldergrove Airport to somewhere far away. It may be a very different journey. It may be a journey that started when you got the news from the doctor. And you're just not certain where the future is going to take you. It may be a journey that was started when you lost a loved one. When a relationship fell apart. It may be a journey that started when you changed your job. When you retired. In lots of ways, we start out on these journeys and we are not sure where we're going to. The story of Abraham is that God goes with us. Come and follow me to the place that I will show you. Over the years, Abraham learnt that God kept his promises. May God grant us the grace to hear his call and be obedient, to trust him and so see our faith in him grow. May God grant us the grace to live in integrity so that we too may be known as friends of his. The band are going to come and lead us in a song that simply gives everything to Jesus. Just as Abraham leaves everything to God, Jesus, all for Jesus. This is our response to God's call on your life. So we'll sit together and sing this through as our own prayer, as our own act of dedication.